You're listening to the Industry Alchemist podcast. The definition of alchemy is a seemingly magical process of transformation or creation. This podcast exists to hear the stories of entrepreneurs, business owners, and leaders doing just that in their industry. We hear about the journey of the brave souls carving a new path, moving their industry and our lives forward in a seemingly magical way. I'm your host, Matt Brower, co-founder and managing broker of Column Commercial Partners, helping companies save money on their real estate.
Hey, you guys, Matt Brower here, your host of the Industry Alchemist podcast. Welcome back. I'm excited for this episode's guest. She has a background that's an impressive mix of neuroscience, quantum physics, epigenetics, intuitive advising, and speaking on the biggest stages in the world. You can see why I jumped at the chance to have her on the show. As a seasoned entrepreneur, Alida Lindahl is a transformative business alchemist and intuitive advisor. She blends cutting-edge business strategies with deep intuitive insights to guide leaders and organizations through transformative growth. Aside from her direct client work, she has shared her knowledge and insights on the TEDx stage, at the White House, and in many other venues. Thank you so much for being on the show, Alida.
Thank you so much for having me. I'm happy to be here. This is going to be fun.
It is. So you and I both have a huge passion and geek out and have a commitment around corporate consciousness, leadership, your conscious leadership. How did you, you've been kind of in this industry providing your gifts to within this space for about 10 years. Is that right?
Yeah, about like over 10, over a decade, right?
Okay.
How did you... 14, something like that.
13, 14 years. Okay. Talk to me about how this all came to be. Is this always something that had been scratching at you and you were kind of doing, you know, whatever you were doing before and, you know, just started, you know, took a huge shift at some point? Tell us about that.
Yeah. So in regards to going into business and just entrepreneurship, period, right? That was like plotting, planning, knowing I really wanted to do this and my commitment to it, right? So I was all in and it was slowly built, like I slowly built the business, right? And that was my first kind of like jump off point. And super interesting because I jumped off and put myself in such deep waters because it was the recession. It was about 2006, 2007. So right after I took the plunge, then that came to be, right? And so like, oh man, a lot of challenges and I'm a single mom, but I also made that transition and that decision because of being that, right? I needed to have flexibility of schedule. I needed this life, right?
Literally.
Like needed it and wanted it. And so the commitment level was super high. And my spirituality has been a thing in my life, like since as far back as I can remember. And over the last probably say 20 to 30 years, 25 is probably a safe bet, I've been cultivating that. And what I refer to as conscious awareness, because I say conscious awareness is the equal to me as referring to our spirit. And I say that because it's not until we're in conscious mind from a neurological standpoint that we are actually fully present. And I equate that to free will because we can't make a new choice or a new decision unless we're in a conscious state of being. So it's really important. Mm.
So can you explain your view of the how all of this plays together, being an intuitive and being conscious and being spiritual? How does all this correlate, play together? What does each, you know, what does each one mean to you?
Yeah, so intuition to me is, you know, direct connection with whatever somebody wants to reference it as. And this is where I'll call myself spiritual for lack of a better term, but I really believe branding and titling has created a lot of chaos also in some of things. And I think that if we can all find a word or a meaning that you know, equates across all religions and all worship and belief systems to the same thing, then I think that would be incredibly helpful. So I'll just say, like, you know, like light, the force, like, you know, the greatest of everything, the highest level frequencies, God, whatever, you know, Allah. I mean, there's been so many terms, right, used early and globally. It's like that, and being able to know, which I equate to conscious awareness. It's not until we're fully present in the present moment, our mind isn't running us in the past. It's not running us into the future. Our mind is not, our, like, the mind should not be running us. This is where I say the term conscious awareness, self-awareness. It's been said many ways. The medical realm is called self-awareness, right? So it's all ties together, whether it be medically related or whether it be neuroscience or the sciences in some aspects, right? So from my perspective, again, like, that's the best I can say, is this is my perspective on how things work. But the intuitive aspect is something that a lot of people are craving. Like, it is this and the ability to truly be the pilot of your own plane, so to speak. Yeah. Right, that people are really hungry for, and it's only growing more and more every single day. They need to be given the tools, the resources, the modalities, have the level of understanding of how to reach a place of self-awareness, right, present moment awareness in the zone if you're an athlete. The list goes on. We call these things across different industries, even we're saying the same thing, but we're branding and titling it differently.
Yes. And,
right.
It's flow, like, state is another one. Yeah. Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Yeah. So, and thank you for the add on that, because again, like, you're in this space and I honor and appreciate that so much too. So please, you know, let's work on this podcast succinctually together. If there's something that I'm dropping that you want to add, jump, because
yeah.
I get so in flow that I kind of just keep going, you know?
Yeah,
it's like, I feel like I can't educate the world and people and our youth especially fast enough. I want people to be educated about our bodies, about our systems, about our mind in particular, and how this brain is designed to serve us.
It's so powerful.
Right.
I love what you're saying, because I'm actually not only on a mission to increase the awareness of what consciousness means and self-awareness, but part of that is a lot of the terminology you just pointed at it. A lot of the terminology that we use, people just have are put off by it. So you know, how all this works is, to become self-aware, you look inward, you look into yourself, and you discover, and here's a term that is widely used that is a turnoff for a lot of people, you discover your traumas. Mm. Well, that word trauma, for many people that have had a very difficult life, or they are tough and they, you know, they're like, oh, just get over it mentality. Trauma is the wrong word. Like, trauma could be literally your aunt. If you're 5 years old, your aunt saying, oh, I don't like the color of that dress, change. And you made that mean something in your five-year-old mind, that now you've created a life around that comment and you have no awareness of it. This is what self-awareness is, discovering those particular things that happen. And so I don't like to use the word trauma. I like to use the term like default way of being. You know, there's certain ways of being that we are default for us, and we have no control over, because we are not knowledgeable about it. So this is what you're speaking to. I love it.
Yeah. And on that note, that's what I would reference as subconscious mind from a neurological aspect. I would title it repeat patterns and programs. And that's how I would term it, right? And this is so important, because communication and being able to intertwine and weave these understandings together so that collectively we can touch more people with a level of understanding, right? That they actually, like, when we speak their lingo, they get it, They're like, oh. Yeah. Like, yes, that all day long, right?
It resonates.
And so so that's why I'm so passionate about it, right? And trying to like touch the hearts and the souls of as many people as we can. And I believe that that possibility is endless with technology.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. And the bridging of the work that you're doing, that's bridging the spiritual side of it to the science, to the medical, to the psychological, all together, because it is all the same thing. It's amazing. So thank you for doing the work that you're doing.
Yeah, thank you. You know, it's just been a lifetime of passion and a lifetime of study. And from the moment I started kind of like going that path, again, it's a passion. It's one of those things. I reference a passion as something that you can do that you sit down, you start doing, you look up at the clock and you're like, what just happened?
Yeah.
Right? Like that.
Time flew. Yeah.
Yeah. And so the time that has been spent on some of these things, because I'm so fascinated, right? And I love to, like, I'm like, okay, what is this about? You know, curious. Curiosity is a high, is a high function of my brain type. Right. Mm-hmm. So brain typing like is also important. This is why I say like you could, and I'm not the first to say this, the professionals have said, equate your mind to your computer. It's ours to program. I tell people, look at your algorithms. It's a reflection repeating back to you of your subconscious thoughts. Mm-hmm. Use those, just use those to reprogram your mind. Pay attention to what is reflecting back to you on your news feeds. If it's negative primarily, choose one new positive educational piece of information a day and watch how your positivity grows and how your mindset changes and how your news feed changes.
How do you, this brings up a good question. A lot of people, you know, everyone's heard the term positive thinking, the power of positive thought, mm-hmm. and all of that. How do you differentiate that, you know, positive thought, fake it till you make it, to shifting subconscious mind? Because one of the figures in our last conversation that you mentioned is like 5% of our reality is created by our conscious mind, 95% is created by our subconscious mind. Can you speak to that a little bit?
Yeah, I would love to. Thank you. So this ratio, I think, is really, really important. And it's important for people to know. And I have conversations with people daily who have PhDs in various fields. And in these conversations, right, across the board, this is always kind of like perplexes people. But there's psychological studies that have been done and article content that's been written by like Psychology Today, I think is one of them. And also, you know, Time Magazine, there's been psychological articles that have been done way back in like even 2013 that talks about our subconscious mind and the large amount of space that it takes up in our head. And subconscious, let's just break that down. Basically, it's just a repeat. It's our brain's ability to be, it is our own internal AI system. It's supposed to be tasking, it's supposed to be doing all those things, and it does, and it compartmentalizes quite well for us and organizes and structures, and it will take care of business for us all day long if we allow it. 95% of the time is the ratios that are coming up through neuroscience, and psychology is just, I think seeing 75%+ of the time, right, is the commitment in article content that we're in subconscious brain, which is literally repeat patterns, repeat programs, automatic decisions that our mind makes for us without us being consciously aware or even present. And we make an average, this is the kicker, of 35,000 choices and decisions a day. Only 5% of those, that would be roughly 1,200 decisions, we actually make consciously, giving us the ability to make a new choice or a new decision. And I think that's what slowed our evolution as humanity.
And when you say decision, are you speaking of like making a choice, or is it just a thought, like a judgment, or like, is it specifically a decision?
Yeah, it's an opportunity. Okay. It's an opportunity to make a new choice or a new decision. That could be as simple as the moment you wake up, you put your feet on the ground, you put on a different pair of slippers, right? It's like all of our choices. What are you going to use, this toothbrush or that one? Are you going to use this toothpaste or that toothpaste? Are you going to drink this coffee or are you going to drink tea? Choice and decisions all day long that are very rhythmic and patterned and automatic. For us, like, I equate this, and an analogy that I use is thinking about when you start to learn to drive a car. You're hyper aware, you're hyper focused, right? When you start to learn to drive, because you're a newbie and you are conscious of everything. And then once you get in the groove and you kind of got this driving thing down, the brain is happy to kind of like start taking that over for you, and things become automatic. You're not thinking about them. You're not fully present necessarily. Your mind could be busy working on something else while you're turning the key and the ignition turning on your car.
Yeah. So it's we are AI, but it's just automatic intelligence instead of artificial intelligence.
I don't want to say we are AI, right? We are, we have a design. Let's just say we are so brilliant and miraculously created, far beyond our imagination at this point in time. Our brain, you know, people, like, technology is being mimicked to replicate it because of its awesome, amazing capabilities. And it's the last organ on the body that we're really paying attention to, which fascinates me. And it's just been because we haven't had the knowledge or the comprehension. It's not like technology gives us the ability to understand our own capability better as we are moving along.
Yeah, it's a good, it's a good reminder of, like, there's a lot of people freaked out about the potential for AI, the negative potential. And there's actually a lot of positive, and it, honestly, it depends on what we focus our energy on, is, I believe, what actually happens.
Collectively. Like, it's proven that our thoughts are frequencies that are unstoppable. Like, science has proven this, like, that they can penetrate anything that we believe to be a material object. And the span that it can reach is at least the equivalent of around the world, which is so cool. Right.
Yeah.
And so I'm just like, wow. And we do have, as a humanity, a lot more frequencies buzzing around on the face of our planet than we have before, because we have, you know, Wi-Fi, we have 5G, we have, you know, microwave, I mean, radio. These are all frequencies. And so we have a lot more frequencies. And so this is where I tell people it's really important to stay balanced. And you know this, right? You instruct around it too. It's like, how do you guide people to understand how to stay balanced? Because this is all just very real. And I think the more that we just get real about it and have these conversations, you know, people understand things at levels they never used to, at much higher levels, because of communication systems like this.
Well, thank you for, this is why I'm doing this. So thank you for the acknowledgement.
It's important work. Like, let's touch as people as possible.
Yeah, absolutely. So when you are presented with a new client, whether it be an executive team or an individual, what are the first steps you're taking with that person or that, you know, team, to just, I would imagine there's something that takes place so that you can kind of gauge where things are at, so that you can then make a game plan from there? Or how does this work?
Oh, sure. So it depends on if it's an individual or if it's an organization that I'm going into. If it's individual and it's a one-on-one, then I'm a good listener. The first, I'm just a really great listener, right? Because I have to understand everybody's unique. Every single perception is different. There's no two perceptions on the face of the planet that are the same. So fascinating, right? To think about that, because we're all very different due to the stuff that we've compartmentalized, the perceptions we've had, our upbringings, our education, like it's, the list goes on and on and on. You can have two identical twins grow up in the same house and they'll have two different perceptions on some things, right? So,
right. You know,
based off of that, I listen because I need to get to know the uniqueness of that individual. And so I'll do a lot of listening so that I can better understand how I can support them and how I can help them achieve their goals and get them as far as fast as I possibly can, right? And oftentimes what happens through that process is people will make massive, huge shifts in their life in 3 months or less because they're committed. They really want it. These are like typically high achievers. Everybody always says that. It's true. You know, you know that because you deal with people also. It's intense work oftentimes, but being the listener is really what allows me to best support a person. And then the homework is individualized and, you know, according to what their unique needs are in order to achieve what they've shared with me the end goal is, which oftentimes we accelerate. Whatever they believe is an end goal, we usually wind up like ramping up because I'm like, how about growth? How about we focus on extreme growth, right? And what does it take to get there? And what's the roadmap? What they perceive as an extreme goal, I usually accelerate far past what they are comprehending. That's because my mind works, right? And what I see as potential is oftentimes just far surpass what another person can see in themselves or in their reflection point in time. And once I start sharing these thoughts and these ideas, that's the creative solution component, right? Hey, let me help you from my background. Yeah. Experience, let me tell you the ways that I can help you do this better, faster, more efficient, right? With more grace and ease, less and challenge, less of that, right? And more of the good stuff and getting there as fast as possible and supercharging and empowering that individual, you know, like supercharge. Like we should all be supercharged right now.
Yeah.
Because that's our capability.
Yeah. Yeah. You know, it's funny, most people's, I've been doing introspective leadership training and work for many years, but I just partook in this Creating 2024 Powerfully seminar, right, you know, after the new year. And I was reminded that when we set goals many, many times, our goals for this year are completely based in last year, what I did do or what I didn't do last year. And so you're dragging, we're dragging that crap into setting our goals for this year. And that is actually what holds us back. So to have somebody like you come in and recreate, no, we're just gonna create newly, having nothing to do with the past.
Yeah.
What are we going to do right now? That's the conversation that you're bringing to the table for your clients. I love it.
Yeah, I love it too. And they love it once they get
they love it.
They're like, whoa, like amazing, yeah. Right?
That is the supercharging that occurs probably, right?
Yeah, it is. And for everybody, that's something different. Oftentimes what motivates one will not necessarily motivate the next. And so, you know, it's a process. It's an uncovering, almost like an excavating, right? And then boom, you can create shifts in one conversation that are massive. And you know this, you do it. So that's what I love about what we do. The other thing is that I'll say is you asked about like going into companies and you going into corporations. It's like oftentimes, you know, people who have been left mismanaged when it comes to teams or team development or not managed at all, or not trained to you know, take a leadership role, the internal workings of an organization can become a little bit sporadic and chaotic, to say the least. There can be, you know, not a team-oriented environment in corporations oftentimes. And I think that that's because we have people who haven't been trained and developed within these corporations on what does team actually mean. It's about unifying people and bringing people together. It's not about teaching people that it's okay to stand over there and gossip and chit chat and not do your workload while somebody else is a super achiever and is going to pick all that mess up for you, right? Yeah. It's about really cultivating a fine run, you know, team, right? That works synergistically together. That creates so much efficiency. That bridges so many gaps, right? Throughout your operations that it's crazy. It's just, you know, so why wouldn't you? It's like, it's mind blowing how much more money you can make by having a good training and development program within your system, within your organization. That starts with onboarding. These are just the things that people sometimes grow super fast, oftentimes, and they don't think about. Or even if they have department heads, right? Sometimes the organization will grow so big that you can only reach so far. And that's where a consultant being pulled in from the outside can be very advantageous. With multiple set of eyes, or, you know, not multiple set of eyes, but let's say vantage points of different industries that you've stepped into and you've worked intricately in, that allows you to take knowledge from all of those industries and then step into an industry that you haven't stepped into before, which I've never stepped into any of the industry. Like, I have not been working in the industries. In most cases that I've gone in as a consultant on a project, like, yeah, I've known literally nothing about them, including medical when I first went in on the playing field. And I had a group of practitioners in New York City who had contracted me just before the pandemic hit. This is why I'm so, again, heightened about conscious leadership, right? And conscious leadership development, because I know who I was then all of a sudden in basically, for lack of a better term, a war zone with operational experience and background, needing to build and design for literally now we're in a space where we don't know what's happening. We don't know what's going to happen tomorrow. We don't even know what's happening today. We don't know what the cause is. We're in present real-time focus.
And so you were working with this team of medical professionals right in the midst of all this happening.
In New York City, right? Mm-hmm. And supporting these people and also like building, designing, structuring, architecture, business modeling around all of the needs for these various different medical practices throughout, you know, different portions of the industry. Yeah. And so, and then maneuvering around, you know, what state's calling out, what federal's calling out, what, you know, everybody is calling out, and trying to wrap your head around all of it and stay on top of it and maintain it and build and design in unison with it takes conscious awareness. You have to be in the present moment awareness, and you have to do the best that you can with what you have to work with, and you have to max it out. And so when the rest of the world fell dormant, my universe went kowamo.
Yeah.
The work, real work began, you know?
Right. Holy shit, we need help. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, it was, yeah.
Yeah. I believe that it's the reason that works. It doesn't matter what industry, is because this is all the same thing. Conscious awareness, mm-hmm. No matter what industry, what you're doing in life, basically, when you become aware consciously of yourself, what that means to me is that, you know, you're recognizing where the ego, the human ego, is in the driver's seat versus where the soul is in the driver's seat. And the more we can become aware of those two things, the more we can actually lead from a place of soul level versus ego, just out to make more money or gain more power or whatever. I think most of the time when we are, you know, becoming consciously aware and leading from that place, the result of that ends up being more money. A lot of times it certainly ends up being more joy and more fulfillment. But when we're just grinding from an ego perspective, this is where a lot of the world still is. And, you know, that's what's shifting.
Yeah, conscious leadership. So from my aspect of things and my outlook and the training program that I have, the whole thing is based off of, and we're saying the same thing again, we're using different terms, emotional intelligence, right? So when we become self-aware, we become emotionally intelligent. And when we become more emotionally intellectual, we also then understand the importance and the vital importance of humility and humbleness in everything it is that we do when we're in present moment. When we're running in subconscious mind, and I'm going to give an example because I've encountered this, right? Young medical doctors, interns, or brand new, like being staffed in a hospital, right? New grads, and coming in and actually, because, you know, like I'm not a doctor, but I've told you what I've done, right? And there's been things in my past where I've like literally sat in an ICU for 6 weeks period of time and helping to, you know, rehabilitate and bring people back, right? So it's like all this ingrained experience that I do have and enough respect that I could walk into a hospital and oftentimes with the questions I ask, which is the same way with business, right? Because you know, you learn the questions to ask that give you the answers that you need to make executive decisions. That's conscious awareness.
Wow. Right? I love how you articulate that. Yeah.
Yeah. And when you have that kind of respect because you're speaking the lingo, right? And you know what you need and you're getting that, then you're getting the resources that you need to make executive decisions, whether it be, you know, in an ICU critical mass situation or whatever. The medical aspect of things I have an in-depth basis on, right? And when I have a loved one that's in a hospital, I for sure am going to say, let me see the medical charts. Let me see the lab. Let me see, like, let me see, because I know how short-staffed they are, right? I know that there's potential gaps in the system. I know that they aren't functioning all of the time in these hospitals on a patient care software program. In most cases, they're operating on a billing software program. That's entirely different in design and feel and approach. Yeah. And they're not being taught to even slow down and become consciously aware with the patient that's in front of their eyes. You understand?
Wow. Yeah. Right? Yeah.
And it's because oftentimes it's not like this is not a fault, right? This isn't a fault, but there is a humbling that needs to happen and be taught. And this conscious ability needs to be trained across all fields for many reasons. It helps people stay calm in chaos. It helps them be present to truly do their job so much better, right? In some cases,
which is so critical in the example you just gave, like to be present, that changes their world.
It drops ego.
Yeah.
When you can get fully conscious and present and really look at a person as a person and not a number or a chart number or hospital room number, right? And you truly get real with the person in the present moment, you're now dealing with a soul. You're now dealing with a spirit. You're now truly listening to what their needs are. Because if we don't listen to every single person and what's happening within their physical system, how can we possibly give a proper diagnosis, let alone a proper treatment?
Yeah. So you clearly have been well-trained on in your past on all these things. Can you tell us about what steps you took to gain this out, this perspective, this knowledge? What does your journey look like in that?
So in many aspects, it was literally not necessarily that I sought it. It came through experience and the need to have to then find solutions, right? The need to have to more. It's like I could accept, right? Coming into these situations, I could accept the information that was being provided to me, or I could choose to research and assert myself, right? And use some ingenuity and also gather more information. And so it's never about, I'm just the type of person, I always want to make sure that whatever is the fullest, maximum, possible, highest potential, that we're going for it. In any case, it doesn't matter what the situation is or what the industry is. Like, let's do a little homework and a little research, because people always say, well, I don't have time. It's because they're caught in the hamster wheel. You know this. You get this all the time. Mm-hmm. People are caught in the hamster wheel and they're getting up and they're doing the same repeat things all day long, and they're tasking. They're doing the tasking that now could be passed off to AI, right? And cut that and then get back into the playing field of what's truly going to change things. If you put some time into planning and strategizing, it's always going to pay off on the back end, and it's going to get you further faster.
I equate that to working on your business versus working in your business. For a leader, staying high level, what you're describing is so important when you're getting bogged down in the menial tasks and trying to do everything yourself and basically burying yourself in all these details. It's always a recipe for disaster.
Yeah. Yeah, no question. Like there's just so much better ways to just like eliminate chaos operationally. Yeah.
So before I forget, I want to move into us getting to know you a little bit more on a personal level. But before I forget, what's the best way if somebody's listening and they own a company or they're just curious for themselves or their team, what's the best way to reach you, to research more about you, your website, best way to contact you?
Yeah, my website is Ask A-S-K, and it's Alida, A-I-L-E-D-A. com. And I'm across all social media channels as at Ask Alida. And so you can find me pretty much anywhere if you really want to connect. I look forward to it. YouTube, everything, right? You can find me like in dabbles almost everywhere that you're going to possibly want to look. And I'm very open to connecting and helping people, right? Obviously, as much as I possibly can. And I've also started taking on interns and have an internship program now too. So I'm super excited about that. So I also welcome those conversations. If anybody's listening and think they might want to intern in some capacity, it would be
amazing,
epic to have that, opportunity and option to have true people who are really seeking and really committed, on board. And, that's it in a nutshell. I mean, I have,
cool.
The connect with me option on my website will put you in my scheduling link.
Beautiful. Okay. Who have been some influencers that have had big impact in your world?
Oh my goodness. The first major one would be my grandmother, who is my nanny from the ages of 7 to probably 11. And she was just this incredible spirit from the aspect of she literally believed in living her life as close to sainthood as possible. Mm-hmm. And she led that for me by example, daily, raising me through those pivotal years. And that literally gave me such a core foundation and grounding vantage point in life. I didn't realize it at the time because I was just a little kid.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, I had no clue, right? What the gift that of which was being given. Now I'm just blown away that I had that, right? And I know how blessed I am, especially as I encounter and I've talked to and I've worked with different people. Not everybody has the blessing of having that same vantage point and that same foundation, oftentimes. And I'm very, just very grateful about that, right?
Mm. It's the things from our past that we have a lot of memory around that have had the biggest impact on us, both positive and negative. And the fact that you have a lot of memories around that with your grandmother clearly is a proof that she's had a very big impact on you in that way.
Yes, no question. Now let me tell you how that worked for me, right? And to my advantage, and to my advantage is because it's not because I haven't faced traumas, the big T word, right? Mm-hmm. Which I don't even call them traumas, but I literally, like, my perspective on every single major, let's call them life events that can potentially happen, is that they're challenges. And it's the physical reaction in our body when we refer to something as stress or we refer to it as a challenge, the chemical release alone right? That our brain function miraculously does for us and these amazing bodies that we have is a dramatic difference in the chemical, right, release from the word challenge versus stress. One just feels like shit.
Yeah.
There's no way around it. You can literally use that word and feel it tanking your entire system immediately. Yep. You can feel it. Or you can say challenge, and literally it makes me want to rise up to the occasion. It brings about my resilience. And this is what conscious leadership is about also, is resilience, fortitude, right? It's those things. And traumas also, I want to touch here because you mentioned it before, and now I want to bring it back full circle. And that is that it is all of our traumas, our life's greatest challenges, that that's the golden thread that is interwoven for all of us. That is our uniting factor, I have found, is the commonality of when we really share our stories, there's somebody who can relate to one of our traumas or our life's greatest challenges. And then now all of a sudden they know that there's a connection. Like they have a connection with you now, right?
Yeah.
And so it's through sharing our stories and the willingness to be real and to get vulnerable and to truly like bear some of our most gut-wrenching things that we make the greatest impact and that we connect with more people. Yeah, that's so important, the vulnerability and the willingness to do that and to share.
Sorry to cut you off. That is the golden thread. Wow, that's incredible. And that is what, you know, I've heard the term, we're all just walking each other home. That's what we're doing by sharing our story, giving advice and this and that. It just never hits for people, obviously, for any of us, I think. But if we're just sharing our story, our own story, from a place of vulnerability, others are going to resonate with some of those things, and that's what's happening. And then back to your point in the beginning, thought creates vibration, and the energetic level of what that's creating is just like, that's that in it, that you just summarized rising corporate consciousness or collective consciousness.
Rising consciousness, really, for a better term, right?
Yeah.
And that goes across all realms and all playing fields, not just corporate. That can be again in any aspect of life, right? That this touches these people. And the other thing I want to say before we close, because I'm again about unity, right, is that once we find a commonality in our terms and our choices, the best way for me to say it is this, is that not only are we intertwined and woven and connected through our potential challenges, and I'm going to just keep saying that term, like, fuck trauma, let's call it a challenge, right? Because we're all uniquely designed, essentially, to be empowered superheroes, potentially. Like, we can do with this whatever we want when we know how our body and our system works, right? Like, this word empowers me, oh, maybe I'm going to use that. Like, it's that easy. Program yourself to use a new word.
And you sold. I'm using challenge from now on.
Do it, please. Like, I'm like, please spread the word. Spread the word.
I've been trying to figure out the term to use instead of trauma, because it doesn't work for me and many people. And so I love that challenge.
But I think it's important for people to understand, right? Like, those words need to be used because they're being thrown around all the time throughout our social systems. And so it's important to, like, they understand those words because they're quite programmed with them. Everybody, all of us, right? And so that's the other suggestion I would make. Watch your programming. Pay attention to what you're choosing to literally program your brain with, whether it be reading, whether it be music, whether it be things that you're watching on TV, any of that, right? Your social media feeds, like, just be privy to what you're choosing. Like, choose consciously. What is it you want in your life? And choose the things that are going to get you to the point that you want to be at. What's your target? What's your goal? Make conscious choices to get yourself there. Don't keep doing the same shit different day.
Yeah.
Like, you can do better, right? Empower empower yourself, right? But educating people on how to do that is important. The unity piece, I'm going to take it back and boil it down. And that comes down to this. And that is, it doesn't matter what the industry is. It doesn't matter what the religion is. It doesn't matter what the worshiping system is. It doesn't matter what your belief system is. It doesn't matter any of these things. And when I say it doesn't matter, it doesn't mean that I'm discrediting or that I'm belittling or that I'm bad talking. What it means is that at the end of the day, there is negative and there's positive that runs throughout all things. There's no escaping that. There's negative, right? Lower frequency, lower vibration, like, there's just that, and there's also super high vibe and super high frequency. And miracles are happening every single day, and there's more lives being saved every single day than we are aware of, because nobody's running around chasing that. It started way back forever. I don't even know, maybe like 70s, 60s, 50s. I don't even know, right? I haven't done the research on this one, but I do know this, and that is that in journalism, if it doesn't bleed, it doesn't lead.
Oh, God. Yeah.
Right? That was always.
Yeah, this is how we've gotten into this like crazy spiral of being obsessed with drama and the latest news story. And
instead, we could be like taking a camera and following all the superheroes around the world, because there's people's lives being saved in all of our neighborhoods on a daily basis by superheroes, right?
Yeah.
In all industries. And so, like, wake up to that. Conscious awareness tells me that, oh, that makes a lot of sense. So I can choose to believe that, right? Yeah. Because odds are that's probably pretty practical.
Yeah. And speaking from how that is actually showing up in the world, I'm building, as we've talked about before, and I think most people that listen to this show know, I'm building this community down in Panama, in this beach town. And as part of that, I have gotten connected with, I can't tell you how many people all over the globe are building conscious communities that are sovereign, that are self-sustaining, with the complete intention of what you're talking about, which is, let's find something new to focus on, because the thought is what creates the vibration, which is what creates our reality. There's a lot of people around the world that are actually building these things already. And the more we can, and not only that, but we're coming up with ways to all be interlinked.
Yes, so important. Please and thank you. Yes. Yeah. Like, learn from each other, cohesively learn from each other, cultivate together. Anytime there's a way or a possibility to do so, we get so caught up in the mindset of competition that we keep ourselves sectioned off and separated, instead of empowering and enforcing and create co-creating together, right? And if we, even as a country, and I can touch on this, like, America is all of the cultures of the world. We harbor all of the cultures of the world in our great nation. So we are the globe, right? And so I'm just going to take it back to, America's always led, right? And design and all of these great things. Like, why not call that forth again? Creative, free-spirited thinkers and designers and creators, like, that's who founded our country. And I believe that's what technology and these ways of connecting and all these things that you're talking about, these communities, these, you know, like, that's the grandioso awesomeness that comes from these things.
Yeah, that's where things are headed, for sure. Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, wow, this has been an incredible conversation. I have enjoyed this so much. I've learned a lot, and it's only going to continue.
Yeah, and congratulations to you on everything that you're creating and that you're, you know, developing and growing and all of that yourself as well. You know, like, I'm fascinated. We share tons of synchronicities, you know, across in many ways. And I'm super happy for you. Super happy for you.
Thank you. And one last question.
Okay.
And if you've listened to any of my episodes, you know that what the question is. What is your superpower? What's the one thing that you are great at that people may or may not know about you?
Yeah, it's my ability to maintain my conscious awareness. It's what we've been talking about. It's that that allowed me to create and develop and design and do the things that I needed to in mass chaos and traumatic times. And I think, you know, there's a lot of people in the world who can relate to that too, probably like law enforcement and, you know, like fire departments, you know, firemen and, you know, military, and the list goes on and on and on, right? That need for those moments. And I think for me, the biggest thing is like holding that and holding my peace.
Yeah. It's like staying focused on what you're committed to.
Yes. And holding holding that balance, right? Holding that balance. Being in the zone and holding that frequency, for lack of a better term, of, you know, just knowing that you're going to get there. Knowing that solutions are going to come, just trusting, right? That's the intuitive, right? The intuitive. Yeah. And oftentimes I can sense and I can feel and I can just know a direction in which something is just going to be awesome. And when I work with people, that's where the intuitive aspect comes from, is that conscious awareness, being able to tap in what they're sharing, and then being able to like, wow, have you thought about this?
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, this is what allows you to do what you do for your clients.
It's that trust and that knowing in that.
Very cool. Well, thank you so much again. This is amazing. We're going to have a lot more conversations. I have no doubt we're going to stay connected and, you know, maybe have you back on the show again as you continue to grow your business. And we're going to put links to all of your social media and everything in the, when we post as well. So
awesome. Thank you.
Thank you.
Have an amazing day.
You too.